This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Dan Hayes. What you got for us, Danny, my boy?
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to hear Hawk, and always fun to talk to Dan Hayes from The Athletic, working out of Minnesota these days, and he joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it, and we loved your work. That story was fantastic. Coupled with John Greenberg's story, I think that Sox fans were very excited and thrilled to learn that Justin Ishbia is becoming more of an investor. And I think the thing we've been talking about is that, you know, I get it that Jerry doesn't have to sell the team. But if he's halfway down the road with the Polans to get the Twins, that's got to be a shock that he pulls out and now suddenly is – in pursuit of the White Sox one way or another, in my opinion.
Right. And look, I think that's the part that we have to add the context to, right? Is obviously the White Sox said there's no deal to power in place that lets them take control. But this is a guy that everybody around the league, people within the Twins, people handling the sale, we're talking about the Twins deal being closed by opening day. Or not closed, they were gonna pick the winning bidder by opening day. That was about January 10th. I mean, talking to people, they were super confident that this was going to be done and that there was a really good market for Twins ownership in place. As of last week, the messaging has changed. And now it's, well, we're going to have resolution one way or another in 30 to 60 days. And technically, that does still include opening day. But the market went from robust to adequate. And every intent, everything that we're hearing is that it's because Justin Ishbia pulled out. And look, when I told, I will say Twins people at camp are definitely far removed from this because there's a capital market company in New York handling the sale. It's just like a realtor handling your house sale, except, you know, with billions instead of hundreds of thousands. But they were shocked. They all expected, they had done their own homework on Justin Ishbia because the league had vetted them on behalf of the Twins. The Twins had started vetting him on their own. He had made all kinds of inroads with community leaders, reaching out to former players about getting into ownership group. It was well believed that he was coming to the Twins because he wants a team in the worst way. And, you know, so when you do the math, I mean, clearly he thinks that he's going to have a shot at the White Sox to switch at such a late stage, I would say. I mean, apparently there cannot be handshake deals when banks are involved. But, you know, there's got to be something there that made him stop this pursuit of the Twins. Because, look, Twins are in good shape. They don't have a lot of cost. They have a a ballpark that's 15 years old. That's a gem. It's, you know, in a division that you can very easily be a competitor every 2 to 3 years just because nobody's spending gobs of cash. So it's a good spot. And there's a lot of potential for growth in ticket sales there. It's a good investment. You can see it, something that people would look at it and go, yeah, I like this team. But when you compare it to the White Sox, if the White Sox get a new stadium and what that franchise valuation is going to go to from where it is, I think the word is that he's buying in at 1.8, buying the minority shares at $1.8 billion. Look, if the White Sox ever get that stadium and become a destination where, similar to Wrigley, people just show up even if the White Sox are terrible because they know there's great music and bars and stuff like that, restaurants and you know, hotels around the stadium. If the White Sox ever get that, you know, you chip a little bit away at that Cubs' huge market in that regard. I mean, come on, we've been to Wrigley where it's 35,000 and the Cubs are 10 games out. It happens all the time. And, you know, I think the White Sox have some dreams of that, of achieving something like that. And I could see long-term why you would look at the two, the two franchises and say, yeah, I want the White Sox one. Not to mention the whole Winnetka and the big house, and
Right. So if that's the case, and he wants to run his own team, and he's far afield, and all that's missing is, it becomes a formality, and all the things that you just said are true, but who got to him then? How did it go from,
right,
we're about to close a deal in Minnesota to we're going to pivot here and go in this direction? What happened and who got involved?
Yeah, so I wrote about Ishbia being a Twins candidate in December, and it just got stronger from there, right? I mean, he was publicly named. People confirmed it. You know, he was doing all those meetings with the community leaders. John Greenberg's part of the reporting, and it's a big one, was that, you know, after he was tied into the Twins, that the Reinsdorfs reached out and said, hey, let's talk some more. And that was in January. And I heard from people tied into the Twin sale process that they heard about that about a month ago. And I think they knew that it was definitely a possibility that he would not be interested at that point. And honestly, you know, I mean, he's already invested in the White Sox. He's building, you know, the number keeps getting bigger on the rumored size of his mansion. I think I saw at first it was $70 million, and today I think John Greenberg wrote that it's $80 million. So soon it'll be like $150 million, right? We're just gonna keep adding to it. Maybe that's where he'll sell the land to Jerry, and they can move the ballpark there.
To his house.
You know, I mean, I think once John wrote that the Reinsdorfs reach out, and I honestly, ball game over at that point, just because if there's some kind of way for him to be in charge of the White Sox, that's clearly what he wanted.
You know the Sox, you've covered the Sox, you know Jerry, and he's 89 today, and we've wished him happy birthday many times. He loves being the Sox owner, and he loves smoking a cigar and watching the team, and he does it in Glendale and he does it in Chicago. I'm just curious, do you believe that he is concerned about the future, his legacy, you know, the fact that they had the worst season in modern baseball history? Does that bother him? Does that impact him? And is he willing to kind of give up his interest if indeed that is what's required?
Yeah, I don't think he wants the team to leave Chicago. And look, he's had two sort of attempts the last 2 years, right, to get some groundswell, to get the stadium going, and the Nashville thing that came out in October with Dave Stewart, and the year before that where they were talking about leaving. I think he very much wants the legacy to be kind of, you know, cemented. They won, right? They were the first team to win in Chicago. They beat the Cubs, even though the national news likes to forget 2005 occasionally and overlook it. I remember in 2016, the last time a Chicago team won, and, you know, they just leave the White Sox out. They won, and they've been a good franchise at times. I think he would love for them to be there. But you're right. He loves owning a team. He loves being in baseball, and the quotes say it all. You know, what else would I do? I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. And I think he's a private guy when it comes to a lot of the business dealings. And I think that, you know, there's putting a time, a countdown on this is not going to do him any favors. Like if there was a announced path for Ishbia to take control of the team, then fans are going to be, fans are going to be clamoring for that anyways. But at the same time, if it was like 2 years from now, fans are just going to get disgruntled. And I mean, there is going to be a waiting game involved here. Clearly, you know, this is not something that is going to be overnight. But I can understand why. And I think that, you know, what if some of this money goes towards helping them get that stadium? Because again, I think that's the goal, is having something that people want to go to. And even if the team is, you know, 500, that they have it as a destination to go for a weekend, or even just a night and come out and hang out. That's something they've never had. And, you know, I think that we've seen teams around the league do that. Atlanta, Texas, the Cardinals, they all have it. They have their, you know, it's like Texas Live, and I don't know what St. Louis is called, but, you know, there's a bunch of fans that have places to spend their money after the game. Atlanta's Battery has like 3 hotels, multiple restaurants. It's a cool way to do something and put it in a spot where fans will go and park and spend their money. And I mean, Wrigleyville is like the original model, right? Like, even though that was just organically done, Wrigleyville is the ideal part, and they're in the same city. And I just think that, you know, there's motivation on both sides here, without question.
So just before we let you go, Dan, in your view, based on your reporting and knowing Jerry Reinsdorf, who doesn't obviously say a lot publicly about this and certainly wouldn't start now, but do you believe, based on all that you know, that he welcomes this involvement from Justin Ishbia and in some ways might even be helping to pave the way for him to one day take over?
I will honestly say I don't know. John did a lot of the White Sox reporting on this. I'm just, you know, the math just makes it seem that way. I mean, look, this guy wants a team. He's motivated by a team. He definitely has the financial wherewithal. And with when you think about all those things, and that he could have had a really good product and owned it, you know, by May, when all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, you know, I just think there's got to be something there that's a lot further cemented. And I know that John reported it, and, you know, the White Sox declined the part where there's any kind of deal in place. But, I mean, they're going to do that. That's just, they don't want that countdown. But I have to think that's in place.
Okay, John. Our John's reporting was really interesting. When you look at the idea that the White Sox could, I mean, how quickly would that impact spending on the payroll? We've seen them kind of turn back a little bit, and they are not spending the money they did. I want to say their cap's down to like $82 million or something, where it was over, yeah, it was crazy last year that they spend as much money as they did and they lost. How would that impact, how would a change impact that?
Yeah, look, I think John wrote it today that it would be probably something, one development we could see is if they allow Justin Ishbia onto the Sox Board of Governors.
Right,
And you know, if that was to happen, you could see him have some influence for sure. But this is Jerry's team, and it's always been Jerry's team, and he runs it, and you know, the losses have definitely been tremendous. I 2 years, you know, they were loaded for bear a few years ago with that great team, and fans didn't come, and the attendance fell off hard. And I mean, to be down to like 1.3 million last year. And we know it's going to be worse than that this year, because on paper, this is a worse team at this point. Right. So that's the development I want to see. And then I would think that, you know, if Justin Ishbia is on that board of governors and has some say, like, that's a young voice in there that they need. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because clearly the Sox are going to keep saying what they're saying, and it's understandable why they're saying it. I think the sell the team stuff, it's funny how much the Twins and the White Sox are parallel in all of this, because Twins fans were saying sell the team last year. The Pollad family has owned them since 1984. You know, they won the two World Series, but they've always had low payrolls. Fans are tired of it. And that is probably the craziest part about all of this, is just the power swing here in the division. Because talking to guys, you know, Justin Morneau played for both teams, right? And we were talking about the other day, he said, if that's true, that's terrible for the Twins, that this guy with the deep pockets potentially could go from helping us become waking a little bit of a sleeping giant, because the Twins have sold 3 million tickets 3 times. They have that potential to bring in a ton of fans. That's like $55 million in revenue, and maybe even more annually if they could go from 1.9 million to 3 million. Now he's going to the White Sox to wake up a potential sleeping giant. I mean, just what the impact this could have on the division long term is pretty incredible.
Thanks so much, Dan. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, guys. All right, thanks.
That's Dan Hayes from The Athletic. I could talk about this stuff.
Good information. Yeah, good information. What's going on with the White Sox, the future with Justin Ishbia's involvement, the potential for him being on the Board of Governors, and how quickly the impact could be felt. So that's the White Sox. Down in Indianapolis, the NFL Combine continues. Ryan Poles is addressing the media as we speak. And just wrapping up his comments, Mully, he's speaking to the Bears beat at the convention center in Indy. And one of the things that he has said as it pertains to free agency, we'll get to these after we come back later, before we get out of here today. The clearer the vision, the more aggressive you can be in regard to free agency.
Mm.
So he's not doing anything to back away from what Kevin Warren suggested in that letter to season ticket holders. The Bears are setting the stage for an aggressive free agent period.
He said down there, everything I saw in Ben Johnson, has played out well in person. The transition is going smoothly. So it is Ben's vision. You do know what you're looking for, and that should allow you to be aggressive.
It should, and because you trust his vision because of this quote. His ability to really give a clear vision of what he wants and needs to be successful has been really, really good. And you can just tell. The high football IQ is on a totally different level than what I've seen and been part of before. Ouch.
Well, there you go.
Flusie catching a stray. I mean, that's pretty direct.
Listen, let's be honest about it. We saw that at the guy's introductory news conference. We got a feel for how good the guy is, and it's a bright guy. The IQ is high, whether the football IQ is or not. And I think that one would follow the other. So it's a great period of time for the Chicago Bears. We'll have more from Indy when we get back. We'll get some more information for you, and we will share it. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's, The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
Speaking down in Indianapolis.
That wasn't today, but it could have been, right?
Yeah, it could have been, but it wasn't.
No, he didn't say that today?
I don't know.
Double, triple down?
Why don't we take a little bit of a listen to exactly what he said, and we will... comment upon it as we go along. Let's listen to Ryan Poles.
Ryan, as you incorporate Ben into your personnel side, mm-hmm. what does he add to the group in that regard?
Yeah, we talked about this a lot just within the search, having a clear vision of what every single position needs to have. Now, it's never going to be perfect. You can't have like a prototype at every single position. But as a front office, we want to be as close as possible with that. So his ability to really give a clear vision of what he wants and needs to be successful has been really, really good. And you can just tell the high football IQ is on a totally different level than what I've seen and been a part of before. So it's
Ryan,
really good.
Ryan, over the past month, what has been the process of getting Ben's vision into your head so that you understand what exactly he's looking at? How do you guys start that mm-hmm. and navigate the early stages?
Yeah, so it starts with just individual conversations with us sitting down and going through it. But I think the big thing is bringing the groups together. So our entire front office got together. We went through position by position, the criteria of what he's looking to do. And then we did it again when all of our scouts flew in for our draft meetings, went through that once again just to, again, understand and have a clear vision of what we're looking for, because that does alter the way that you stack your board and prioritize your free agency.
I know you're very collaborative with everybody that you work with in terms of decisions, whether it's Ian Cunningham or whether it was Matt Eberflus before. Will Ben Johnson have more say than maybe his predecessor in terms of what he wants or what he thinks he needs on offense or defense?
No, I think it'll remain the same. We're constantly talking about how we need to go about improving our football team and adding to our football team. So those conversations will be happening almost on a daily basis, which is important in any relationship between a front office and a coaching staff, specifically a GM and a head coach.
Ryan, you've understandably been a little bit more cautious in free agencies as you built this roster through the draft. What's your willingness to be more aggressive at the top of the market this year?
Yeah, I think the clearer the vision, the more aggressive you can be, and that's important. So you want to be selective in free agency because it just historically, like if you look at it, like it can tell you and you can learn from that. But if there's certain players that kind of hit all the check boxes that you need, there's really no reason to hold back. Like, I feel like you can be aggressive in those situations.
Ryan, with DeMarcus off the roster and just knowing that the strength of this draft is a defensive line, but there's also a couple names out there in free agency, guys who requested trades and some other free agent options. Like, how do you go about weighing how and when you will attack addressing that spot opposite Montez?
Yeah, that's part of what we're doing now. Again, it's a big puzzle. You know, free agency comes first. There's a lot of unknowns in the draft in terms of who's going to be there for you. I've talked about that before. You can have philosophical beliefs in how you build a football team, how you prioritize, but the supply has to match the needs, and those opportunities have to present themselves at the right time. So we're starting to put that puzzle piece together. But what I like about really the pairing so far of free agency and the draft is I do believe that the supply of players are matching our needs. So there's going to be good opportunities.
Right. Let's hold that there for a second. I mean, that's like what Rick Smith said. He has a vision. You're going to stack your board differently, Mr. David, and you have the depth of need with matching in free agency so you can start putting the puzzle together.
You also have the reality that only three teams have more cap space than you do. So your clear vision is something that you can help determine how aggressively you pursue them, because you can pursue them. So it means that you're going to go after the obvious needs. And I think what he's saying, without saying it the way I'm interpreting it, maybe you'd feel different, but they need a center, they're going to go after a center. They need a left guard or right guard, they're going to go after a right guard.
Yep.
Maybe it's a left tackle, but we'll hear about that in a bit. But I think that when you talk about specific needs, clear vision, the clear vision is this, essentially you know what you're seeing, you know what you're looking at, and you're now fixated on getting it because it's there's no ambiguity here. And I think the other thing, as we said in the previous segment, saying that this is as high of an IQ as you have been around is definitely complimentary to Ben Johnson. And it certainly indicts everyone who worked with Ryan Poles before.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, doesn't Andy Reid have like a really high football IQ? I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
he came from Kansas City.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a really good memory and point that you forget about. But maybe you overlooked that. Maybe it's something he didn't mean in a literal sense, but that is a good point. You have one of the greatest coaches ever who is also somebody who has worked with Ryan Poles before, who, if you just parse that statement,
does not have the IQ of Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson's smarter than.
What do you? How do you feel about them stacking their board differently because the new head coach is there?
I think it's a wise decision. It's consistent with everything that we have said and heard. And when you have a head coach who knows what he wants and has a clear vision of how to get it, your board is going to be stacked differently.
So when he talks about this idea of matching free agency with the draft, does that say to you, we're getting a defensive end somehow in free agency so we don't have to worry about it in the draft? Does it say we've got to build that offensive line? That's the priority. Let's get two guys on the offensive line in free agency so we are under less pressure in the draft.
More the latter than the former. I think you're going to into free agency with that clear vision, understanding what your biggest weakness was last year, protecting the quarterback and establishing the run, and going out and buying yourself players that can help you change quickly and get better quicker. So that's definitely the way I read it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's continue with the comments down in Indy.
Kansas City, what was your memories of your evaluations of Trey Smith?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into players that aren't on our roster right now, but I'm proud to be a part of that draft process.
Ryan, when you look at the defensive line, like whether it's end or tackle, how have kind of your views in that position evolved as you've been a scout, and what teams need and what you guys need, and maybe how that messes with what Dennis is looking for to kind of find guys to kind of impact the passer?
Yeah, it's I would say it's been consistent. You really need interior someone to really puncture the pocket from the interior for the exterior to be successful and productive as well. So it's that balance of the two.
Ryan, it's no secret that you all look into the ad in the trenches on both sides of the ball. Is there one side of the ball or the other that, when you evaluate free agency versus the draft, that will maybe give you more flexibility in the draft if you attack in free agency?
I think we're still kind of learning about that right now. I think we'll have more clarity when we get out of the combine and get to know some of these players even more. Our coaches, you know, have dug into free agency a lot since they've gotten on board. But we have a lot more work to do on the draft when we get back. So I got to see how we get aligned on that too. The other thing too is just looking at the work that our coaches have done on free agency. We have a group of really good evaluators on the coaching staff too, which is really important.
What did you learn about getting your plan for free agency and the draft? When free agency is a little more predictable, the draft is totally unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So you don't end up, you don't want to obviously sign a high-priced pass rusher mm-hmm. and then draft one at number 10. So how do you decide which needs you can fill in which season, I guess, or which option?
Yeah, there's strategy to that, but I would probably argue and say if you get a good pass rusher in free agency and you draft a good pass rusher, you can't have enough good ones. I think we all watched that last game of the season, and that proves to be true. So, but yeah, you want to see how you can put the puzzle together where you can kind of fill all the needs perfectly. Sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Would it be easier for you if it was the free agency first and then the draft, like in the NBA?
The other way around?
Yeah.
Draft and free agency.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
yeah, of course. Yeah, it would be a lot easier. I think it would be more expensive in free agency, too.
Ryan, you mentioned that it's a different feel in the building. So how does that impact just this week working together with Ben for the first time and how you guys go about evaluating players this week?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of good conversations. You know, we all come with unique experiences from the different places that we've been, where you learn different things about specific characteristics of players, usage of players. You know, even when you look at the draft and guys come from different backgrounds and different schemes, like how does that project in the league? So a lot of really good conversations with Ben, but as well as the entire staff.
What changes are you looking for in it from an analytical perspective now that Ben Johnson is here?
Yeah, I would say we share the same philosophy. Is we want to use the data and analytics to help drive good decision making. You look for where it lines up and feel really convicted about, you know, making decisions. If it's not lined up, it just forces you to do more research to get to a point where you feel comfortable with the direction that you're going.
Right. Ryan, you mentioned a different direction for Caleb in year two. What have you learned from Ben about his vision for how he'd like to get him on the bridge from this with year two?
Yeah, I think he wants to start really from the foundation and build up from there. I think I mentioned before there's some things, you know, in the development of a young quarterback that you got to have, and I know that he's going to hit that first, and really to help him be the best professional football player he can possibly be. But I love the excitement from both Ben and from Caleb. I know he's eager to get started and work with Ben and get his career going in year two.
The run game's so important to what Ben does philosophically. Mm-hmm. With what he built in Detroit, do you have the personnel on the roster right now to mirror that or hopefully to get there, or how do you envision adding or adjusting at running back this year?
Yeah, we're going to take a look at, again, what's available to us. I really believe it lines up where with the additions we're going to have over these, you know, next two kind of player acquisition periods of free agency and the draft. We'll be in a position to have a strong run game to stay balanced, which in turn helps a quarterback out as well.
Now that last sentence is very interesting, isn't it?
About helping the quarterback out by establishing a good running game?
It sounds like they're going to build an offensive line and get a running back so that they can handle that part of the game.
Well, that's what they were lacking as much as anything last year.
Yeah.
You can talk about Caleb Williams and the rookies ups and downs, but at the same time, he was up and down for a reason. Didn't have a consistent running game to speak of because he didn't have an offensive line you could trust.
Yes.
So when you talk about being specific and targeted and aggressive in free agency, he's talking about rebuilding an offensive line that needs rebuilt. I think there's another portion of that we didn't hear yet, but I think he alluded to, according to some Twitter comments about left tackle, Braxton Jones will come back. is expected back, but also will be competing for that job. Mm. So the only certainty on the offensive line, as we continue to talk about it and have said this previously, Darnell Wright is starting at right tackle. The other four jobs are up for grabs.
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it. And depending on the money invested in the player, that will tell you if the player's a starter or not.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to pour $20 million into a guy and he's not start him at that position. It'll be interesting. The other thing that caught my ear, he talked about in order to rush the passer, you need to puncture the pocket from the interior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds like that three technique.
It's good alliteration, too.
I did like that. It does sound like they need an interior pass rush. They need someone to play, for lack of a better term, a three technique type position where you're getting past people on the interior of the defensive line.
Well, Jervon Dexter can play that role. I think what you're hearing and I think what you're sensing is exactly right. You have right now Andrew Billings coming back from an injury, Jervon Dexter coming off a so-so year, up and down, inconsistent, but effective at times. Good numbers that might be a little deceiving, but you do have a need. You always have a spot for a disruptive defensive tackle.
And I mean, the very fact that they had DeMarcus Walker playing inside on occasion, and he was considered one of their better pass rushers that they end up getting rid of, because he wasn't good enough, and he wasn't good enough on the interior. It's almost, I mean, he's not that good a player, but it's almost like they need two guys.
You're presaging, you're suggesting that there might be a bigger move in mind on the defensive line. And I do not disagree, but I just wondering, it's easier for us to target specifics on the offensive line because we know Trey Smith and we know Drew Dahlman and we know the names. I don't know defensively who's available yet on the defensive line. There might be some salary cap casualties that come free that they're more aware of just based on the business that they do and access to information that we don't have. But if that's the case, you have to be excited or at least encouraged as a Bears fan that the emphasis seems to be in the right place. You're talking about the offensive line going out and being aggressive, and you're talking about the defensive line and getting to puncture the pocket.
Yes.
This is a good way to talk about your football team. You want to rebuild your running game and protect the quarterback, and you want to puncture the pocket.
I mean, you're talking about the trenches, which is all we've talked about.
Right.
And that is the bottom line. I mean, I don't know if you need the highest football IQ to have watched the Super Bowl and seen what the Eagles defensive line did. And he references that. What they did in that game was completely dominate a pretty fair offensive line group and disrupt maybe the best quarterback in the NFL.
You did not need the highest football IQ to realize those things, but good for Brian Poles that he's working with somebody who has the highest football IQ of anybody he's ever been associated with.
That's pretty good.
All right. Right now be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to be part of a studio audience for Cubs Dodgers in Tokyo starting at 5 a.m. right here at the Score. We will broadcast our show at the conclusion of the Cubs broadcast, all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, that's 312-540-0670. Be part of our studio audience.
Is it a Layla Tuesday? Is that accurate?
I think so.
Will be on this afternoon. It's Bernstein and Marshall.
So it is a Layla Tuesday, but not until 2.
Okay. Wow. I'm personally disappointed because I enjoy talking to Layla, but okay. If that's what they want.
It's a nice tease for the afternoon show, though.
If that's what they need. Okay. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.